Flyers Daily with Jason Mertidis.
It is a brand new episode of Flyers Daily. Welcome to the 18th of August, 2025. Flyers Daily presented by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. I don't remember a mid-August Mondays with Meltzer discussion where I had quite so many things to write down and discuss with our Monday guest. He joins us from PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, NHL.com, and HockeyHotStove.com. It is Bill Meltzer. Bill, how is Flyers Alumni Camp?
Flyers Alumni Camp is fantastic. This year, and Rob Bear swore me to secrecy, and I was able to keep the secret. This year, the each of the four teams, they did exact replicas of the uniforms that the Quebec Aces, that the Richmond Robins, that the original Maine Mariners, and the Philadelphia version of the Phantoms, the purple jerseys, all wore. And we all got T-shirts too. And I mean, everyone went crazy for them. I mean, they're fantastic. So that was a great touch. It was hard to keep it a secret, but everybody loves that piece of it. And yeah, I mean, fantasy camp is always a great thing. And you know, it's always cool to see. We see from the other side, and I'll say that yesterday we did a tour of the Flyers Training Center. And what was really cool about it was, as media people, you know, we see the media room, we see the press conference area, we see the locker room, but where we went was literally all access. It was Patrick Sharp and Danny took us all around. So we saw places that are players only areas that are off limits, even the coaches.
The dressing room where they get changed out of their clothes.
They have to change, yeah. And there's also a kitchen in there too, where you know, I mean, and it's just for the players and their families.
Coaches lounge area.
And it's
off the charts, isn't it?
Yeah, the coaches' offices where you know, I mean, if one of the coaches is one, you know, wants to meet with one of the front office guys, they go upstairs where the front office guys are. So, you know, we kind of saw where everybody's domains are. Danny showed us some things that are kind of tricks of the trade that he uses on a day in and day out basis, because people sometimes wonder what a GM really does day in and day out. So it was just tremendous. And we had dinner on the where they're putting the third rink, which is not quite ready yet. They had a veneer. I mean, but look like we were on the ice, but it was really flooring. So we had a barbecue dinner, you know, on the third rink, and it was just fantastic. I mean, those guys outdid themselves this year, really.
I imagine a few jaws dropped when they walked into the weight room.
Well, you know, it's funny, and I'll share this. You know, we walked in the area where they have, like, you know, all the treatment areas, the tubs, you know, mm-hmm. the basically jacuzzis that they're in a row. You know, and Bill Clement was saying, like, Clarkie would not have liked this.
Yeah.
You
know?
But just a whole different era, you know. But you see, actually, you know, what an NHL lifestyle is like on a day in and day out basis. Because even like, you know, the Phantoms have really good facilities for an American League team. Yeah. But at the NHL level, it's a whole other level.
It's a recruiting device.
And, yeah. Oh, for sure. And you know, when other teams come in too, I mean, they mm-hmm. you know, they don't see some of these areas, but they see enough to know, well, we don't have that. We don't have that wherever they are. So
didn't Talk say that about a practice rink?
Yeah.
Because Vancouver didn't have one.
They didn't have one. And you know, the workout room, which has anything you might want to have, you know, the shooting room. There's a dedicated shooting room in there too.
Yeah, and find some goalie gloves in there too. The goalie's working on shooting.
It was really cool seeing, you know, some of the players' equipment in there. You have a sense, like, seeing and we see it, you know, I guess from media side in the locker room, but like Travis Sanheim's stick, you know, you get a sense of how tall he is.
Yeah.
You know, and but he uses like really little gloves though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that feel?
Exactly.
And these guys, for the most part, all of them are fanatical about their equipment.
They are. Yes. Other than, it's funny because Tuck himself, you know, back when he played, he would just take a pair of skates out of the box and pop them on. But he was the rarest. He was the rarest of rarities with that.
Especially back then. I mean, skates were a bear to break in. I mean, it took a while. Now you just make them and put, you know, they mold to your feet.
The skate sharpening machine nowadays where it's all automated.
Yeah, sparks.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very cool. I know Crosby won't use the blades that just pop out. He just doesn't trust it, you know. Yeah.
Well, how many times have we seen guys' blades pop out around the league in the last few years?
Yeah, at an opportune time for a goaltender in particular. Yeah. We saw it as well. We saw it with Sam Harrison. Yeah. Had a blade come out, and he had to butterfly slide his way over to the bench. Yeah, it's incredible. Like, those things are, you know, when you hear an organization say, you know, we're doing everything we can to look as good as we can to potential free agents. That's part of it. Everybody has a salary cap and how much you can pay guys, but those other amenities are very, very important. And they did a whole redo down there. It's unbelievable. Along with that, the Xfinity Mobile Arena, which was just renamed last week. Bill, I want to start this off by wishing happy birthday to a guy who belated a couple days ago on August 15th, turned 36, and I saw this Nasty Knuckles posted. Jake Voracek, 36 years of age, and there was a great video that Derek and Riley put out as well of him playing air guitar with a stick and singing Bruce Springsteen apropos.
Yeah.
But Jake, 36 years of age. Now, he came here when he was 22, if you can believe it, and played 10 seasons here.
Yeah. Well, first of all, go back to that trade, right? And what the Blue Jackets got a couple of months of Jeff Carter before
he pushed his way to LA.
Yeah. So Flyers got Jake. They got the first round pick that they used for Couturier. And they get, you know, maybe not the same impact, but they get the third round pick they used for Nick Cousins, who's still in the league.
That's unbelievable. So he's still on the show.
Yeah. So pretty good haul in return for a couple of months from a player.
Yeah, everybody looks at that, you know, the double deal that day with Richards going to L.A. And obviously Brayden Schenn part of that, Wayne Simmons.
Right.
The amount of contributions all around on that. But Flyer fans look at it and go, well, they went out. You lose the deal because they went out there and won a cup. Well, Jeff Carter originally wasn't dealt to L.A. He was dealt to Columbus.
He was traded to Columbus. And they already had Andrzej Kopitar and you know, Drew Doughty and Jonathan Quick. That had something to do with it, too. So
Some really good players, and they won those two cups out there in LA, I believe, in 2012 and 2014, I want to say. Well, Chicago won 3 in 6 years in 10, 13, and 15. But happy birthday to Jake Voracek. I put this out in a tweet. When I made it public, the battle that I was facing with colorectal cancer, I got a note from Jake, and he just said, hey, I'm thinking about you. If you need anything, let me know. And if you're ever laid up and just want to talk about hockey or anything, just give me a call.
That's
a good guy.
Jake's just a good guy.
He's a salt of the earth dude. Bill, you had a report last week, and confirmed it with the general manager, Daniel Briere, on Tyson Forster's health situation and the possibility of starting the 25-26 season on time and on schedule. What did you learn?
Yeah, it's a lot more optimistic now. You know, barring any setbacks, and then there's always a possibility, but it's looking good. You know, whereas early in the summer, they weren't really sure what to expect. I mean, you never know what's going to happen sometimes in a recovery, but they're pretty optimistic that he's on the right track and he should hopefully be ready to start the season, which would be huge for the team.
I think it's enormous, not only for the team, for him too. I just think he's coming in a very interesting spot. He got an injury when he was over playing in Worlds, where by all accounts he had a great World Hockey Championship.
Yeah,
and he's playing with the best players from his country, and I think being around those guys teaches young players, in particular at the age that he's at right now, he can really take a lot from a tournament like that. He's only 23 years old, coming off a 25 goal season. To get him to be able to start the year, but the infection kind of set in or whatever it was that he was dealing with kind of after Worlds. So it was a little bit complicated.
He had an injury, said to be a minor injury. He missed one game. He was back in the lineup the game after that. But then, what happened was an infection set in, and there was a long time they couldn't even get a good image on there.
Inflammation.
They had to clean it out.
They
had to clean it out. So, you know, that's also why it's hard to say 100%. But but it certainly is looking optimistic, and they think, again, they think the chances are good that they should be ready for the season. So
after I saw your report and I was thrilled to see it, I sent a screenshot of it to Danny. I said, this is great news, and he's very optimistic. So that's a great thing. What's the trickle-down effect, though? We're going to get to Alex Bump coming up in a little bit. But what is the trickle-down effect if you've got him locked and loaded? It's one less spot that's up for grabs, at least out of camp.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to make the team.
Well, yeah, I think Tyson Forrester has a pretty good shot of making the team.
Yeah,
you know, there'll be competition. You know, I think that like Bobby Brink did enough last year that he'll make the team and whatnot. But it's going to be ongoing competition. You know, and we'll see what happens on opening night. I think the roster, most years looks different by the end of the year than it does on opening night. But this year, I think it's because there's some guys that are coming, whether that's Alex Bump, you know, whether his first year, and maybe Jet Luchenko. Hopefully his little injury situation is okay, because remember he missed development camp.
Yeah,
and he missed the summer showcase, so hopefully that didn't set him back too badly. I mean, he's expected to be fine for the season, but the thing with Jet is that it's a shame that the new age rule, kicks in a year from now, because he's certainly ready for the American League. I'm not sure he's ready for the role you would like him to play in the NHL.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with starting lower in the lineup and working your way up, but. A guy with his speed and his playmaking, I would like him to play with skill guys. But, is he ready for the grind of an 82-game season? You know, I'm not sure. You know, he's kind of in between there. But that's something, you know, particularly with some other centers, because they signed Dvorak.
And Zegras.
And Zegras should be starting on the middle. So, how the Lions are going to shake out, I'm really, really interested to see that. Where Couturier will be, which line he'll be on. I think one thing right off the bat, you know, you're talking about the strength down the middle. I think the Couturier relationship with Rick Tocchet can only be better that's something too that brings stability to the room. That was really a factor that caused some disruption, because it's going to.
Yep.
You know, it's just going to. And having something where, and listen, I mean, talk as a coach where, you know, if he has to get on you, he will, but he'll never do it publicly. If you're not playing well, he will just say, you know, he's not playing well.
I need more from him. He did it about Kuzmenko when Kuzmenko was there. Yep.
Yeah, which is fine. But yep. But he won't tell you anything that he's not already telling the player.
Yeah, they won't hear it first. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Over the airways or whatever.
So that dynamic, I think, could help contribute to. I think it could contribute to a better start this year. You know, I think it's vital that this team is at least hanging around the pack to where you can push as the season moves along.
Yeah.
We've discussed it X amount of times, you know, the goaltending piece and the power play piece, but I want to see what the new staff can do with that. And also want to see what the new staff can do to help bring the goals against down and also make life a little bit easier on the goalies, the goaltender.
Period, end of sentence right there, right? Like, you got to give up less. And,
yeah,
you know, we had Kevin Woodley on a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if you saw the episode, but
I did.
Flyers had one of the worst environments for goaltenders the last 2 years with high danger chances. And in particular, the ones that come across the slot line and come across the middle of the ice.
Yeah.
Those are hell on high water for a goalie, because he's got to move a long way.
They're brutal. And that's sometimes where the other goaltending metrics, you know, it's you might have a game where you're facing 18 shots. I go, well, he gave up 3 on 18, but he didn't really have any chance on 2 of those, or even all 3 of them.
You get used to that too, Bill, because the shot selection in the NHL is going to get
more
and more prudent. And hey, it's about quality. It's not about quantity.
Yeah.
We talked to Woodsy about that too. And I mean, that I think that's going to get accentuated even further. When I'm watching cup final games and in the third period, the shots are 12-9. I'm going, whoa, the league is really buying into this. And, yeah, and they're right.
Yeah.
And you look at a guy like I did a lot of tape breakdown on Dan Vladar. Erceri plays pretty deep for a goaltender. Vladar's a deep player, too, to use that body size without having to travel real far. He took a lot more ice when he was younger in some of the video I saw of him when he was with Boston. And throughout his growth as an NHL goalie, he's taken a lot less ice now. And that's in reaction to all that cross-ice and quality that comes out of goalie. Bill, Noah Cates, is he ticketed for the wing?
I think that he improved so much in the middle that I would at least like to start him in the middle.
Could you start Luchenko on the wing?
Well, I'd like him in the middle too, but what I think you might be able to do, Dvorak is so good on faceoffs, but he's the guy who maybe he takes the draw and then he moves over.
Yeah.
You know, that lessens the crowding a little bit. I want Luchenko in the middle. You know, I think he's a playmaking center.
Me too. I think he drives the middle of the ice extremely well.
Yeah. No, he absolutely does. So I'm really curious to see how all that'll play, because someone's going to have to move, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you look at it now, you know, on paper, Couturier is a center. Zegras is going to be a center. He's going to start there.
Yeah.
I hope he stays there. I hope he just succeeds and does what he needs to do in all three zones. And, you know, it puts points up offensively and does the right things defensively to not even have it be a question whether you need to move him to the wing. That'd be the dream scenario. Dvorak, I think, you know, in any situation where you have an injury in the middle, he can obviously move off the wing to there. And to your point, he can take, I mean, a defenseman, Ray Bourque used to take faceoffs. He was pretty good in the faceoff circle. Yeah. So you can use him and deploy him on draws on his strong side. I like Cates in the middle too. But I just want to make sure his usage gets enough. And I do want to see a little more offense out of him. So I brought this up last week.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought up these five players. I call them the development five. And they're all at different ages. You know, Tippett's a little older. Cates a little older because he went through the collegiate route than a guy like, for instance, like Tyson Forster. But the five I brought up, and this wasn't like I was trying to build a line, but it's Forster, Cates, Tippett, York, and Drysdale.
Yeah.
If those five players can build on their development as NHL players. And I'm not just talking take a step developmentally, Bill, easy for me to say. I'm saying on the production stat sheet, put up more goals, get more assists, defend less for York and Drysdale, create offense more. Yeah. One or both of those guys need to be on PP1 and PP2. If those five, I think like Michkov is obviously critical, Couturier, goaltending, all of that, Sanheim, Konechny, we know that. But those five players, they could be the swing to this team possibly being a playoff team and not being anywhere near it.
Yeah. There's another level on all those guys. Want to see it over a whole season here. You know, certainly Forster finished the year on a tear. Started slow and then really came on as it went along.
Been a slow starter 2 years in a row, too.
2 years in a row, yeah. Yeah. So, like to see him get out of the gates faster. Really important, I think, for Owen Tippett, because he did not have a very good second half last year. It was an injury part of it, too. But, I mean, the thing with Tip is that, and we all know he has the ability to be a guy who scores 32, 33, 35 goals. But he hasn't hit 30 yet. And this is where you're saying the bottom line, the numbers have to start being there for him. You know, and because he'll have those runs, you know, Jason, where
dominant.
He'll have seven goals in nine games, but he can't go 15 with one.
Yeah.
Right. So just have those, you know, all scorers are going to run hot and cold. But just shorten those. That's something I really want to see for Tippett. I think Tock will be a really good coach for him. You know, I
think Tock's going to be on a plan to just figure out how to tell him how good he is.
Yeah. And the
power game.
Tock and the two defensemen. You know, to me, York has, you know, he has the pedigree of being a power play defenseman, but he hasn't, the last couple of years, he hasn't really got much chance to play there. Yeah. I'd like to, and maybe give him the opportunity. He doesn't run with it, and fine, you know, it's like you figure out plan B, but I would like at least like to see him try it, right?
Yeah, I'd like to see him go with it right out of the gate.
And Drysdale, the way he can skate, with where he was drafted, you know,
lateral movement.
He has to be an offensive defenseman. I mean, offensive defenseman, not just in theory, but on the stat sheet, he has to be.
Yeah, he's got a lot of that Shane Gostisbehere spare, the way he can walk a line, and the lateral movement. Like, yeah. Ghost was so good at that. Like, I mean, I think that was one of Ghost's greatest skill sets. Yeah. Was that ability, like a shortstop, to get over there, keep pucks, and do those things. He was very active, never static on a power play. He's always moving, which I think is important too. Those five players, I think, mean a ton. And I think for all those five, a fast start. Are all five going to get off to a fast start? Probably not.
No.
But, I mean, look at Cates last year, the chemistry he develops with Forster and Brink. And the guy I didn't bring up in that five, Bill, is Bobby Brink.
Yeah.
And, you know, for all the conversation, you know, Forster gets the big extension. We know Tippett's deal, the 8-year deal. Cates gets that contract done. York gets done. Drysdale is coming, presumably. But the one guy we don't talk about a whole heck of a lot these days is Bobby Brink. We talk more about Bump than we do Brink. Where does Bobby Brink fit in with this team?
Well,
the messenger will help him too. Different.
No doubt. I mean, he definitely improved a lot as an NHL player on the checking side. I mean, he heard that out the ear, you know, where you just don't play, you know, at an NHL level as a checker. And he really took that to heart. He really worked on it. But, you know, why did the Flyers draft Bobby Brink? When you're drafting that smallish forward who's known as a playmaking type and whatever, he's another guy where the production has to actually match the talent level a little bit closer. And, you know, we talked about the size factor. Now I thought it was interesting in the offseason where I was a little surprised when they didn't qualify Peltier, but when they didn't qualify him, that really meant okay, Brink's job is pretty secure going into the season, but he has to maintain it. And even when that line was really playing well, you know, it felt
still
like
still weren't producing though.
I was gonna say. So the numbers have to match the eye test, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so he's going to be one of those guys. He's going to be judged by the bottom line, how he's producing. I mean, that's why he drafted him in the first place.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you got to feel like, you know, where he fits ultimately here may, you know, in some way, shape or form, from a roster number standpoint, Bump could play a part in that too.
Yeah.
I want to play this, Bill. This is Rick Tockett on the Nasty Knuckles, the aforementioned Nasty Knuckles podcast. I listen to all the Flyers podcast. I love them. We all fill a different lane. And the Nasty Knuckles guys, Derek and Riley, do a great job. And they had Rick Tockett on for a sit-down at the Nasty Knuckles studio. I've sat in that chair at the Nasty Knuckles studio. It's a great time with those guys. But I want to get your thoughts on what Rick Tockett had to say about Alex Bump. Here's Rick Tockett.
He said, keep an eye on this guy. So I watched him and really impressed. You hate that nobody's guaranteed jobs, but I'd like to see him push people for a job. He was doing stuff, and it's a great question because I was watching him in camp. I love when you tell players, it's not that I told him, he was taking the puck to the middle off the rush. Like he somehow he got himself in a scoring position.
Oh, it locked up on me a little bit. Oh, keep playing. Oh, no. All right. Well, Tock went on to say, figures technology just taking an absolute crapper on me. Tock went on to say that, he's a player to watch and he's a player that he's going to be looking at and he's going to have an opportunity for Alex Bump. Tock mentioned there he loved the way that the player off the rush took the puck to the middle of the ice. I will tell you, in today's NHL, Bill, I've been watching a ton of video lately. In today's NHL, if you can keep teams outside the dots, not just in the offensive zone, all three zones. You defend them outside the dots. In the neutral zone, you don't let them attack you in the middle of the ice, because ultimately they're going to have to chip and chase if you got them outside the dots coming through the neutral zone.
Right.
And obviously in the offensive zone, if you can keep them outside, then you're in a great situation. Having guys that can attack the middle, like I thought that's, we've talked about it when we watch him bump play in the Frozen Four. I just loved how he always migrated the good ice in the middle.
Yeah.
We know Michkov attacks the middle. Konechny attacks the middle. You know, if Alex Pump's going to come in and attack the middle, sign me up for that. I need guys that attack the middle of the ice. That is where games are going to be won and lost.
Yeah. And that's what he did in the playoff series against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. I thought in that series against Hershey, they actually did a pretty good job of pushing him a little bit more to the outside.
Yeah.
And he was noticeably less effective. So
it takes away one side of options from you.
Yeah.
The boards are there. And if you've got two sides of options, you're in such a better spot.
Yeah. And I think that's something absolutely to keep an eye on in camp. And I don't just mean preseason games, but I actually mean the scrimmages day in and day out, right? Right. Is he always attacking through the middle? Is he getting to the scoring areas? Because he certainly has the hands to finish, but you know, in this league, if you're pushing the perimeter, you're probably not going to score very consistently. So I think that's a huge thing where they determine, is he ready to make the jump to the NHL?
Yeah, and I just don't think we're going to see shots from the perimeter hoping to hit a maze of bodies in front. Again, with the shot quality thing, I think anything that's going to the goalie is going to happen inside the dots in the offensive zone, and preferably not much lower than the top of the, or not much higher than the top of the circles. Like, you really want to get to the house and get traffic there in this NHL today. I mean, you watch Florida. When they came through the neutral, they would transition you off the neutral zone, and they wouldn't ever pivot to the outside. They always migrated to the middle of the ice. And I thought that Edmonton was kind of like, huh? And then the way they defended Edmonton was they just steered them to the boards.
You
got guys like Draisaitl, McDavid having to chip and chase.
They really did. They
just angled them.
That's why they contained, and even McDavid, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a clinic. I mean, that's why they ended up taking over and obviously winning the series.
Yeah. When you can angle guys to the boards where they run out of real estate, doesn't matter how fast you are, because you can angle them. I wanted to ask you this question. You know, we mentioned Owen Tippett, and we've talked about it ad nauseum. When it comes to Tip, that this is a year, a very important year for him. I mean, he's going to be 27. He's got the big contract and the commitment, the 8-year deal. And I wrote this down a couple of weeks ago when I was just preparing a little bit. And I said, you know, who is going to be that guy on Flyers Twitter that catches all the flack? The whipping boy, right? We've seen guys over the years. It was Andrew McDonald. Risto was that guy for a little bit. We've seen guys over the years. I said, who is going to be that guy? And how can Owen Tippett ensure it's not him? You know what I mean? And it's going to be a fast start.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And I would say Drysdale being the other one, too.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely agree.
You know, in every market, particularly in Philly, you know, offensive kind of defensemen, and especially they're not producing, they tend to take a bit of a beating sometimes. So I think it's really important that not just plays consistently, but stays healthy, too, because Drysdale's had so many injury issues.
Of the deal, what they gave up for him. I mean, you give up Cutter, Gauthier.
Yeah, you give up Gauthier. Exactly. So, he might end up being that guy if he doesn't get off to a quick start or as a couple, you know. I mean, we've talked about plus minus here, but he has a couple minus three games.
Yeah.
You know? Then all of a sudden, maybe he's feeling some heat. So I think it's really important that he kind of hits the ground running in his second full year with the team.
Yeah, it's why, again, just giving up less goals and being better defensively for the goaltending. And, you know, him, if he catches a dash four early in the year, you'll wonder what kind of mental effect. He had a moment last year in January with that game against Anaheim. And the stadium's changing. Jamie's better, and great night for him, and a great night. What an atmosphere that was. We're looking to duplicate that a lot. But we'll see. And Tippett carries the big contract, so you get a target.
Yeah.
You're paid to score more than 30.
He has to. I mean, when you have a guy who can skate like he does at his size, you know, who creates so many of his own scoring chances, but, you know, when you run through the season highlights from the team the last several years, Tip's on there several times.
Yeah.
But he needs, again, to just, you know, maybe a few greasy ones, maybe making himself to a target where you can set him up. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a one-timer guy, but just, you know, so many of Tip's goals are where he'll just take the puck and he'll take it to the net. And
yeah, I like to see even more of it, Bill. I like to see him drop the shoulder and go hard to the net even more.
For sure. 100%.
Collapse everything.
Not a selfish player. Nope.
To a fault.
Any of those things. No, exactly. So, you know, it's all there, but he has to put it together. And again, it has to be for a whole year. It can't be for 8 games here, 9 games there, and then you wonder where he went for a few weeks.
Yeah, I'll be interested. I mean, I feel like one of the things that did not come out of last year, other than the aforementioned line of, and we'll see if they even go to it again this year with Forster, Cates, and Brink.
Yeah.
I feel like we still didn't come up with pairs offensively, a player that fits with this player, like a winger with a center. I don't know who Owen Tippett should be playing with from a center position standpoint. I know everybody's like lusting for, they got to put Zegras, Konechny, and Mishkov together. Well, there's only one puck on the ice, and those guys want it.
There's only one puck on the ice, and who's backchecking on that line? Not that those, you know. Someone has to be the last one out of the D zone, the first one back.
Yeah, I'm all for putting all those guys on the power play.
Yeah, power play is a whole other story.
I just don't think it makes sense.
As a 5-on-5 line, it makes me a little bit nervous, to be honest.
Yeah, and again, like all three of those guys are high end skilled players with the puck, and unless they're going to drop 2 or 3 pucks on the ice, which I don't think they're going to do. We will maybe spread them out a little bit. We'll probably see everything at times this year is really kind of the lesson in that. The last thing, Bill, 25 days from now, we'll be at the PPL Center in Allentown watching the rookie game. A little bit different vibe this year. We had the Mishkov mania last year, and he got his first goal with his feet below the goal line against the Rangers. But we're really kind of coming up to it here. We're coming short now in the month of August, in the second half of the month, and September captain skates, and we're going to start to see guys coming into town, and we'll be at the less than four weeks here.
We're certainly getting to that time, and I always enjoy the two rookie games, the first one particularly, the first one
Friday night,
and then the second one, you know. They're kind of looking at some different things and whatever. The second game is not usually as good as the first one.
Yeah.
No. And while we're talking about the game in Allentown, condolences to Bob Rochuk on losing his dad.
Yeah.
You know, Bob. So yeah, Bob's a good guy, and our thoughts are definitely with him.
Yeah, and Bob does more than just the announcing. I mean, he's all in. Condolences to Bob on the loss of his father. And we'll be there coming up on September 12th and 13th. Always a great time to get re-acclimated with the game of hockey. Make sure you pick up your tickets to head up there. Great arena, the PPL Center as well. We'll be up there doing the games, Brian Smith and I, and everybody be covering it as well. Bill, great stuff. We'll read your stuff at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com, NHL.com, and, of course, the Pipe and Hot Hockey Hot Stove.com as well. Everybody, we'll have Franny Drummond coming up on Wednesday. I took a trip up to the Paint Zoo Studios. He's the mass painter for the Philadelphia Flyers and many other goalies around the league. It's a fascinating episode. We'll deliver that to you on Wednesday. Enjoy your week, everybody. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time on Flyers Daily.